it really stemmed from knowing that you've been a recipient of love, even though you don't realize it your whole life, and being grateful for that. You are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. You need three things in life to do well. One is financial literacy. The other side is relationship building. And the last one is be in a continual process of personal growth, right? And I like to say personal unleashing. You're on a journey of uncaging yourself. You're on a journey of removing all the crap that people slapped on you to define who you are.
Welcome to Live to Share, and I'm your host, Livia Hand. I'm a life enthusiast who believes that the right mindset is all you need in order to live a fulfilled and happy life. In these episodes, I will bring you stories from myself as well as other passionate and inspirational guests whose stories will provoke the desire and drive within yourself to live in full expression. So welcome back to another episode of Live to Share. I haven't done this in a hot minute, guys, but I promise this episode will be everything you wanted and more. I'm super excited to record it, so I'm excited for you guys to all hear it. Today I have with me Tuan Nguyen, and I'm going to let him introduce himself, but I'm going to just give a little bit backstory on how we met. So at our school, we have a club called Casco, actually, and Tuan was the co-founder of that. And he spoke at one of our first rehearsals for this year, because our gala's coming up. And he basically talked a lot about love, and initially that's what resonated with me, and I was like, I really need to talk to this guy. And then we met later on again at one of our, it was a Cheers to Cheer event, so it was our kickoff sponsors event, and he said a lot that I have been needing to hear for a while. We had this set for the week after, but it was really nice to be able to speak to him in person. So finally, we're here and we are recording. So Tuan, why don't you start off by telling them a little bit about you?
Wow. Oh my goodness. You
know, big question, I know.
Big question, because, you know, living 43 years is a lot to talk about. Well, essentially, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, at least what I'm doing now. I'm a lifestyle entrepreneur is what they call it. And I get to figure out how to make a living out of things I enjoy. So right now, as of now at least, I run an online community, which is also offline, of business fathers. And we come together and we share game-changing lessons around life, business, fatherhood, self-care, relationships. And it's a lot of fun. We got thousands and thousands of men all over the world, and we are called the Dude Buddhas.
But how did you come up with that name?
Pretty cool. I mean, I've been known as the Gangster Buddha, so now let's backtrack a little bit. I could lead it to this point if you want. I grew up on social aid, like welfare and that, most of my life. I came to Canada in 1975, and my father was ill early on. I was ill. My heart stopped twice. I've had two heart attacks before the age of one. And so because of that, my mom took care of us by herself. And it was a lot of work, but it really meant that we needed government help. And so I grew up in the streets. And so I never really thought of myself as someone who speaks eloquently, because I'm like a yo kind of guy. And but I'm spiritual. I somehow was born spiritual. And maybe knowing that I survived death twice and every year has been bonus, I'm kind of spiritual.
Yeah. So for those who might not know the definition, what is spirituality to you?
Oh, wow. Spirituality to me is just a journey of accepting self and giving self love and shining your true light to the world.
Okay.
I think that's spirituality. I could go really deep in spirituality, but I feel I've always had this kind of spirituality side of me where I'm always thinking about humanity, thinking about life, and thinking about what is the meaning. My whole life I've been like that, but yet I grew up in streets, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't use big life, spirit, coachy words that tends to scare the crap out of people. So my friends used to say to me, it's like, yo, man, you're like spiritual, but you're like kind of casual down to the street kind of guy. And I would call myself, yo, man, I'm the Gangsta Buddha. And so my nickname has been the Gangsta Buddha for a long time. And when I started going down a path as a father, and especially after divorce, and trying to like find myself again because I was pretty depressed, eventually, when you put yourself out there, other men kind of come together and say, yo, man, I've been struggling too. You know, even not just men or women. I see everyone just kind of come together through struggle, but with the intention of getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And as all these dudes start gathering, there's a lot of dudes coming together, a lot of dads. we decided to come up with a name for this group. And they're like, yo, we should come up with a name for this group. And I said, what about the Gangsta Buddhas? And there was a few guys from London, because thanks to the internet, all the people all over the world are now part of this conversation. And it's like, no, I'm not really gangsta. You know, I don't really resonate with that. And so I'm like, all right. So I had Dad Buddha and Dude Buddha as domain names that I owned.
Okay.
So I said, yo, what would you want, Dad Buddha or Dude Buddha? And I was so sure I was going to choose Dad Buddha because we're all dads. But most of the dudes chose Dude Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked why, they said, because you remind us that we're all dudes playing the role of a father, playing the role of a business person, playing the role of a husband or partner, boyfriend. Right, so but we're dudes at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's why we're the Dude Buddhas.
Okay.
Yeah. So and Buddhism is obviously the spirituality
yeah.
side. Right. So anyway, so you know, so now you know a bit about me growing up and growing poor, growing up in social aid, and you know, I basically pursued med school. I pursued what saved my life, which was medicine, right?
I thought you said Eng.
I did, but I pursued it. I just never decided to do it.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go, huh?
Okay.
So at the 11th hour, what was huge was that while I was going through my whole life, I went through natural therapies like acupuncture and all this stuff. And I would bring it up to physicians, like doctors, back in the day when I was volunteering in hospitals to get my way into med school. They didn't believe in it, you know, but I was so much of a believer in it. And that's when I realized that medicine was not for me because I couldn't just believe in only
science.
Medicine. Yeah. So I wanted something more natural, more of a combination where medicine's only absolutely necessary, but there's a lot of like natural therapies out there that may not be scientifically proven, but it's been done for thousands of years, you know? And so I couldn't be true and authentic if that's the buzzword these days, but that's what I felt at the end of the day, why I couldn't feel real being a doctor. At the same time, because you have to volunteer to get into med school, right? These days, you guys have like minimum 40 hours, whatever. Back in those days, it was none of the minimums. You just do it because you do it. You want to. And I volunteered a lot, and I realized hospitals and all these places were lacking money. So then I did fundraising for some of these people from these organizations. I raised money to help buy things for occupational therapies department and neurosciences and research and I would do little events that raise $1,000 or $500, nothing big, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a kid, for goodness sake. I didn't know what I was doing.
Were you in university at this point, or was
no,
it high school?
No, I was still in high school,
okay.
And in Montreal Cégep, which is like grade 12, 13
mm-hmm.
in a way. And eventually I found my desire that what I really wanted to do was make money and then give it to those in need and make a difference that way. Yeah, so... I figured maybe in my 40s I'd start my first business. I didn't realize I could start it that earlier. And then I did engineering and then moved to business after doing accounting and focusing on accounting because I learned that if you don't know accounting, you don't know how to run your business, right?
So Tuan actually finished his Eng degree and then jumped over to accounting.
Yeah, chemical engineering first and then business. I don't talk much about Chem-Eng, so it's kind of like, the role doesn't really matter. Even accounting, I don't talk about much, but I use accounting every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then eventually what happened was I thought I couldn't start my business until later on. And so I said to myself, what if I use all these business and marketing concepts into fundraising, right? And that's when I met someone named Brian Disher and Brian Radburn. These are two guys who were partners at an accounting firm called Coopers and Lybrand back in those days. Now it's PricewaterhouseCoopers. And they were like, Tuan, you know what? Anything you love to do, you could probably throw a charitable component into it. And I'm like, well, I love fashion. I love music. I love business dinners. I love, you know, anything to do with performing arts. I've always wanted to do performing arts. I self-taught myself like salsa and hip-hop and all this kind of stuff. And so I want a space for business students to be able to live their passion for performing arts, but do it in a very professional business setting rather than like a high school musical play. And at the same time, I was frustrated with all these wine and cheeses I would go to, and there's like one professional and 90 students. And you could never get in and have a conversation. So then I wanted to create an event where it was more professionals than students. And I limited how many students could buy tickets, and there the ratio was more beneficial for students.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the vision, and then I used my business knowledge and experimented with accounting, you know, how do I set up an effective number strategy for fundraising. The sponsor package was very well thought out. And then the way we marketed Casco was very well thought out. And it became a success. And that's how we met, right?
Yes.
My first year, the show was a huge success. And I actually didn't really think about it going further than the first year. But it was so much fun. Is this your first year doing this?
This is my first year doing Casco,
yes. I mean, wait till the day of the show itself.
I'm so excited.
Because at the end of the day, the energy is so much fun. It's incredibly inspiring that you just want to do more of it. And I remember the end of the first year, and this was my last university. It's my last project before I left. I thought,
mm-hmm.
Great, I'm good, I can go. This one guy, he asked me, so who's going to take it over next year? And I'm like, I never thought about it. So who wants to take it over next year, right? And then I was like, I want, and all these people,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanted to take it over. And that's how it went into year two. And then, I stayed involved because I loved it so much. I'm like, wow, a chance to make Casco second
mm-hmm.
year. Then my co-founder, Alex, went to McGill to complete his degree. So he started Casco McGill. And then we had a girl named Farah who graduated and went to Brazil and created One Brazil.
I didn't know that Casco was at McGill too.
Yeah, there's a Casco McGill. Yeah,
wow.
It's happening in a week, actually. Yeah, yeah,
oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's very different from here.
Okay.
I would say it's different, but I prefer the one here because it's more like my vision. Over there, it's just a wild fashion show party. It's like so much fun. So we used to go there. They used to come to us. Yeah. Used to be like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I want this to happen on the 20th year is next year. I'm going to reach out to them and
have them get
a table or two because
mm-hmm.
we had Queens. Every year we had students from other universities. We gave them a table. We're like, yo, Queens, you make your way down, you got a table. You know, Ryerson, U of T, like you got a table.
Oh, wow.
And it was our way of trying to spread this message
mm-hmm.
because we weren't trying to raise the most money. We were just trying to make the biggest difference. It doesn't have to be money.
You tell them a little bit about the story also, aside from the business?
Eric?
Okay.
So my co-founder, so I have this vision of creating the show. So that part we just got through. And I want to give it to Children's Hospital because the Children's Hospital saved my life. And so
it was CHEO that you were a patient at as well?
It wasn't CHEO.
Okay.
It was a Children's Hospital.
Okay, gotcha.
I'd been to several growing up. And so, but then there was this first year student named Alexander St. Jean. He's like, yo, I just lost my best friend leukemia, and I heard you want to do something for CHEO. I'd like to do something with you. Let's do it together. And Eric, what I learned about Eric, I was so inspired by him. And the story I shared at the rehearsal was he was dying, and he was doing all this fundraising to give money to CHEO before he left. And it reached a point where everyone said, we got to do something for Eric. And so they went and they raised money, his friends, and they gave him this sum of money. And they said, this is for you to spend on you. You cannot donate to the hospital. And he said, all right. And he came up with this brilliant idea in the middle of the night. And he threw himself a farewell party. And he charged an admission and raised more money from that than the money they gave him. And he gave that to the hospital. So he still wins at the end of the day. He followed the rules and he still won, right? And so that energy is what really fed the energy
mm-hmm.
of Casco. I still feel the energy till today. And I call it Eric's energy, but it's really a co-created energy that we
mm-hmm.
all did it together. And so the truth is, that's the one thing, if anyone's listening right now, is I did a whole TEDx speak on this because volunteerism is what opened up every door for me. And I didn't do it to have doors open. I did it to make a difference and give back to those who gave back to me. But I didn't realize that there's so many giving people in this world, and people are very successful. And when they meet someone who's so dedicated, they want to support that person. And you have to be willing to also say it. You're like, yo, I grew up on welfare. No one I know makes more than $17,000 a year. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know how to succeed. I just know how to give back to the charity. I just know how to create a good show. And they're like, yo, I got you, bro. I got you. And that's what happened to me. I had amazing mentors. They mentored me. And eventually, a university project started by a buddy, which was like Yellow Pages online. I don't know if people know what Yellow Pages are, but there used to be a phone book that was printed called Yellow Pages. And now it's yellowpages.com. But we were online 7 years before Yellow Pages. And it was just a side project. It was a project for my buddy, Craig. And eventually, it reached a point where we all came together and said, yo, this can go big. And we took this online directory across 26 cities. Then we opened up other directories in health, in real estate, in used car. And, you know, we all had a part in playing our own directories. And we took all of them across the country, did extremely well, gave a lot back to charity. And the best part is that it was always driven by involvement in the community, which we talked about love, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is more about my life, and we could talk about love now and a little more later, but it really stemmed from knowing that you've been a recipient of love, even though you don't realize it your whole life, and being grateful for that. And so I always lived on the principle of gratitude, and there's a lot of people who would do, you could say, mean things and snobby things and taking advantage of other people, and even you fall into that every now and then. It's realizing that you could forgive yourself, but getting to a place of gratitude that we are lucky to have everything we have, even though it may be tough, right? There's other people who are far worse places. And my mom, and we were so poor, but my mom used to say, we may not have money to give, but we could always make a bowl of pho soup and give it to the landlord. We could always make some fried rice and give it to the landlord. Give a bowl because they'll appreciate it. So you realize that giving is not about money and all about that. It's an intention of sharing love and gratitude. And just by living this principle and by growing my businesses around this principle and connecting people through this principle, I was able to drop more often than not the differences, the barrier of differences, the barriers of differences of opinion, the barriers of differences in culture and gender, you know, all of that. I was able to receive people's differences a lot more openly and celebrate those differences rather than take it defensively like so many people do. Right, so now we're getting a bit philosophical, mm-hmm. but it really was a basis of, I would say, when I became successful, that's half of it. The other half is just believing yourself and doing what you feel is right and not giving a crap what other people say. As long as you feel a strong resistance, like this, you just irrefutable desire to do something, screw what people think, and I'd rather you try it, fail, and knowing that you've done it, right? So I think those are two things, love and gratitude, and then believing yourself and just going for what you really believe is right, doing everything possible to make it happen. Fail or not, you'll still win, because people die not even trying something they've dreamt about.
No, I love that so much. And everybody that I know that's having a conversation with me knows that, like, I always say, like, I love love. And you said something earlier, and it was live with love. And I like to say that a lot, too. And I feel like in a lot of aspects of my life, when it comes to, like, gratitude and stuff, I feel, I would say, like, a couple years back, even I was in a place where I was just, like, hating on everyone, everything, obviously, go through that phase. But realizing and, like, shifting my perspective towards being, like, every time I am in a negative headspace and thinking that, okay, no, but, like, I have so much to be grateful for. And even though I might not realize it in the moment, but love has always been what's gotten me through, like, absolutely anything. So what would you say to the listeners that, because I do, like, a lot of people that I talk to, it's surprising to me, but, like, a lot of people say that, not that they don't believe in love, but, like, that love isn't everything. So how would you, like, how could you go about, not, like, changing the perspective, but, like, how could you learn to be more open to, like, noticing love in different aspects of your life?
So great, great question. And lots of times we know what maybe should be right. If I use the word should, I don't like the word should, but we kind of know what we prefer being like, and we can't figure it out on our own. So if you, like, don't believe in love as much, or you're having a moment of frustration, or you're in a really dark space right now, depressed, because I know how it feels to be very, very depressed, I think there's two things that's very important is, first, start thinking about the little things you can do to help other people. That's one, is when you start giving, things start coming back when you least expect it, right? Mm-hmm. Give without expecting anything in return. And the other thing is, it's a very common expression, but it's very, very true. You are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. And as you get in a darker, darker space, and whatever space you're in, you end up surrounding yourself and attracting people in the same space. And what I had to do was I had to just, you know, figure out how to just meet more positive people. Find people who just have so much love and they're just incredibly inspiring. And as I just hung around with more people like them, it just became what's called like mirror neurons. You start learning through
you
osmosis,
start feeding off their energy.
Right? And a mirror neuron is like if someone gets kicked in the nuts and you feel the pain, even though you're not getting kicked, oh man, that would have hurt. That's like a mirror neuron, right? Or, you know, it's like or with some when you watch a movie and you just see this scene where you just, there's so much emotion in there. You're like, you start feeling inside as if you're in the movie.
It's empathy.
That's, yeah, empathy. And but the brain actually learns these patterns, right? It learns these patterns. And it's a pattern of thinking. Positivity is a pattern of thinking. Same thing with love. It's a pattern of thinking. Like, I'm just hit with a mean person. What's the first thought you have? Asshole, loser, whatever, right? Or, you know, everyone has problems. This person comes from somewhere. This person deserves to be forgiven. And I'm going to treat this person with love. And whether they continue on and do things that harm other people, I'm going to rise above and let this person know that there's one person they're going to meet in their life that will not judge them, that will love them, and will just move on, right? And so it's a pattern of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So when you learn and you're around people who are positive, who are whatever, or even healthy, you don't have to actually ask them. You just somehow learn and figure out this pattern. Yeah, and eventually it teaches itself, right? So if you guys are out there and you're like, you know, things are not going too well in life, or maybe things are not that bad, but things aren't great either, you can make a change very, very fast. Very fast, just by simply being very intentional on who you surround yourself with and slowly moving yourself to creating a network of people that raises you rather than people that bring you down, or rather than people who you can use an excuse and stay down, right? So there you go. That's what I would do.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a point where I made a big shift in my life and just like, I don't want to say like cut out a bunch of people, but I was more aware of who I was spending time around. And there are definitely specific people that I can like name right now that I know have, like, I was able to feed off their energy and get out of whatever dark spot that I was in. So definitely look out for those people in your life, guys, because you might not be able to like notice right away or think about it right now, but start thinking about the people that's always like showed up for you and whoever you feel that you can be your highest self around on a daily basis.
Yeah, totally. I would say one of the biggest life hacks for personal growth is starting a podcast. And I'm not just saying because I'm on one and I have one, but
check us out, guys.
It was my last option to start a podcast. I want to do a YouTube channel. I want to like be huge on this space because that's more my style. Now I realize that podcast is the best life hack out there. If you want to improve in certain areas, start a podcast around it. Want to be a better dad? Start a podcast around it. Want to be more positive? Start a podcast around interviewing positive people. Want to be about real estate? Start a podcast around real estate. Like whatever it is, just start a podcast around that. And it's like amazing.
Lesson of this podcast, guys. Go up by Mike. Go start a podcast.
Exactly. It's so easy to start too, right?
That's
it's
true.
A joke. Not like YouTube where it's like so
there's
much
a lot
work.
Of editing that
yeah.
goes into that.
Exactly.
But to bring it back, so right now you're at a point in your life where I remember you saying how, or someone else said that it only took you 40 years to figure out where you got to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously a lot of my listeners are in the same boat as me or in university around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And we are lost, very lost. Some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about your journey and how you've been able to get to where you are, because I'm actually very fascinated about what you do. And hopefully one day I could be in those shoes as well.
Awesome. So I'll start talking about feeling lost.
I
remember that. And, I'm not saying I'm trying to blame something, but this is the world we're kind of in right now as a student. We're in school. We got into this certain program that's supposed to give a certain path, right? But we grew up wanting something different, actually. We grew up wanting to live life. We grew up wanting to be full expression of who we are. But, you know, we have the people who care about us kind of stop us, saying, you know what, that might not be good for you, right? This is safer, this is better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do have the odd lucky parent who will let you do whatever you want because they believe in you, right?
coming from an Asian family, that was never the case.
Exactly, me either. And the beauty is the confusion and the loss actually comes from the fact that we actually haven't had a chance to really do something we want to do. Like, really, really. Mm-hmm. Not for the money, not for something future, not for a better job, just for being, right? And so my biggest lesson learned was from this Brian Radburn, Brian Disher guy, was just living fully. These guys were like the coolest guys I've ever met, and they were the most, their happiest guys, and I've known them for years, and I've seen them go through the ups and downs too, because as we became friends. But what was really powerful was the fact that they went head on head into what they want to do, and they faced adversity, and the rise is where so much more that came out of it. So first things first is from my own story, I already shared you a part of it, is like this whole Casco thing and doing something for charity while working in a job, right? Eventually I graduated and I worked in an accounting firm, and while I was working, I was running Casco and doing some other charity work, but I wasn't doing these charity works to get to where I am today, right? I was just literally thinking, I'll work in a firm for 12, 15 years, become a partner, and then that's when I'm kind of business owner-ish, right? And then I could finally make a big difference. Right? What I didn't realize was volunteerism was great because it connected me. It raised my average. One thing I said to you earlier was, you know, I went to the wine and cheese at school and I hated it because it was just 90 students for every one professional. So what I did instead was I opened a newspaper, which now you could just Google events and meetup groups, but you could actually find things outside of school that has a bunch of professionals that maybe, for me, I want to attend a breakfast because it was the most affordable. It was always like $25 or $30 for breakfast meetup versus like $50 to $150 for dinner, right? And as a student, I want the most affordable option to go out there and meet random professionals and just get to know them, right? And so I opened the newspaper, I would see like breakfast fundraisers for CHEO, but maybe you guys like some event that's about performing arts, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, there's a lot of meetup groups out there that's outside the student body, and I believe that's what you have to do. Next is don't appear desperate for work. Don't go there looking for a job. Go there as an opportunity to shine your spirit and your curiosity.
I like that a lot.
Right? Bring back your childlike curiosity. So while most students who are meeting professionals, they're always trying to come up with a smart question. Like, I'm going to come up with a smart question.
They're going to
remember me for that smart question. But to me, the best way to create an opportunity is to have a real connection, right? It's to say, hey, I know you're an accountant, but what do you actually enjoy in life? You know, or, you know, why you become a partner or director of this company, what were the three biggest struggles you faced, whether it be at work or personally, that you had to overcome to get there? These are the questions I asked. And because I was genuinely curious, because I knew that you're there, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm like, how did you get there? Just like how you're asking me right now.
I feel like also a lot of people are scared to like start off with quote unquote like deep questions. Like a lot of people are like, okay, I have to do like the small talk first, and then like maybe I can ask like the other questions. And this might not even be in a professional setting, like even with people in their lives.
That's right.
A lot of people are very scared to dive in and just ask what they actually want to know.
Yeah, exactly. And these are the people who will lose out on the opportunity, right? When you can understand that on the other side of asking, it doesn't have to be deeper questions, you know, per se, but not trying to sound too smart, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, if hockey is on your mind and the person mentioned hockey or, you know, maybe appears to be athletic, you could ask the question, do you play hockey? Yeah. Oh, man, me too, man. It's like, I love it 3 days a week. It's what I love to do every day if I could. And then you get a guy saying, dude, man, I know I work this 40 hours a week, but I always throw my two nights a week playing hockey, man. It's like, it's my favorite thing, right? And then you get asked about the hockey journey.
Yeah.
Right? And so
I guess more genuine questions.
Yeah, more genuine. Get to know the person.
Mm-hmm.
Just get to know the person. Like, almost like, not even like fake dating, like really getting to know the person. As if you could potentially be roommates and spending 50 years together just doing your thing, right? So I think that's a big thing, is getting out there, showing who you are, connecting with people, building real relationships. And that is the basis to me to everything that's going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
a friend of mine, he says you need three things in life to do well. One is financial literacy, because we all live in a world where things are expensive and it's always getting more expensive. So just understanding how money works, and school doesn't teach that. Even people in accounting and finance don't fully understand how money works, right? So really understand that side. The other side is relationship building, right? And as long as you understand how people connect naturally and deeply, when you understand those dynamics and test it for yourself until you know your kind of mojo way of doing it, then that's the other element of success. And the last one is be in a continual process of personal growth, right? And I like to say personal unleashing, because I feel we start off perfect in this world, and then the people who care about us and experience causes us to cage ourselves from taking certain risks. But we're all, it's all there. We're perfect the way we are. We have everything we need to be happy and successful. And that's why I always like to say that now, especially when you're at this age, you are on a journey of uncaging yourself. You're on a journey of removing all the crap that people slapped on you to define who you are. Right? You don't need
that's
any of that.
That's such an interesting way of viewing it.
Yeah, another way is like you're like an acorn. An acorn has everything it needs to become an oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
It just has an environment and all this kind of stuff. So you are the oak tree. You are the seed, the acorn. You have everything you need to become an oak tree. You don't have to do anything else. So it's your environment. What do you eat? What do you put in your brain? Who do you surround yourself with? What do you learn? Right? All these things are part of your environment to help you as the acorn become an oak tree.
Just gotta stay true to yourself.
Exactly. So, whatever anyone tells you not to believe in yourself or it makes you not believe in yourself,
shut up.
Yeah, forget about them. Love them, right? Yeah. So I always say send everyone love, but say, yo, I got it from here. Thanks for your opinion. I respect it, but I will respectfully do whatever the fuck I want.
Cheers to that if I have any sort of
well, let's pop this thing. Let's make it sound. We're going to pop champagne
we're gonna
here.
Pretend.
Oh,
look at
that. There we go. Record that. That's what we're talking about. Cheers. See, now
cheers.
We're cheersing, everyone. Live life, but live with love, right?
Live to share.
Live to share, exactly. I love it. So awesome that your name is Liv.
I know, right? I was like, I'm going to put a play on this.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But yeah, so there you go. Hopefully that helps with everyone. And I believe in all of you guys. You guys just need to believe in you more than I believe in you.
I think so. And I feel like, obviously, everything that we do, everyone we meet, we're a step closer to finding who we are, I guess. And, I guess for the whole, self-growth thing, a lot of people don't really know where to start. And also, when it comes to, loving other people and getting to know other people and paying attention to other people, we also often forget that we are human as well. And at the end of the day, it's so important to get to know yourself, because in order to be able to give other people love and to show up for other people, it's also you need to have that yourself as well before you can. I don't remember where I heard this from, but it was you can't fill up someone else's glass if your glass is half empty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly it. How about this is even better is you have to believe that everyone's glass is actually full. And our jobs is to help each other realize that it's always been full. It was never empty.
Okay, one up me. It's fine.
Yeah. Yo, that's
no,
that's,
but that's
this actually came hot off the press here.
That's actually
your words inspired me to say
I'm
this.
I'm gonna quote that. Wow, look at me go.
You go, girl. This
no, but I really
I've
like
never
that.
Said this.
Wow.
It's just this conversation inspired that thought.
That's really good. And also, guys, talk to people. I feel like that for me. Specifically, you never know, even when it comes to networking events, I feel like even the student ones, a lot of the time, I remember, I would go into them and be like, okay, this is going to be so boring. But then you might end up meeting someone that literally might change your life and the way that you're thinking. So talk to people, open conversations, I think there's no harm.
Yeah, I got another good one, too, for you, which is, Casco start off, really, we were a bunch of nerds in the school. Right, we were not the popular people.
Mm-hmm.
We were just the ones who want to do good, and we like performing arts, and that's it. The popular clubs, with hundreds and hundreds of members, they were a whole different level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that, right?
Yeah.
So, you don't have to get involved in massive groups. You can even start your own, like I did. even till this day, I have little mini groups of 4 or 5 people who really resonate and share what I like, right? And you could easily find this right now. It doesn't have to be like, I gotta join this club, this club, this club. The truth is, you know, if you go through life with 5 people who really resonate with you, support you, raise you, you raise them, and you guys help each other to fully believe in yourselves, then that's great. Just knowing 1,000 people, I guarantee you, doesn't mean anything, right? And Casco started small, and what's amazing is that if you go into Casco, then automatically you're kind of a type of person, right?
Yeah.
And especially if you continue and you pour your heart and soul into Casco, these are the people who really believe in what the spirit of Casco is all about. Some people go in for the, you know, the good looking hot people and the social part. It's true, you know, some guys came in and says, yo, a lot of hot girls, man, I'm in this. But then the guy gets into it and then they realize something deeper.
Yeah.
And then the whole, you know, chick thing is out of the window. Everyone has fun still. You know, I've been to several Casco weddings because they hooked up at Casco.
Casco babies too.
Yeah, we've had several Casco babies. And that's the whole point is getting out there and just really spending time with people that resonate with you, but not just resonate. Here's a very important point here, and I only learned to articulate this recently. Rather than connecting with people through your past, like, oh my goodness, we're both immigrants, or oh my goodness, we both grew up poor, oh my goodness, we both like chess and Facebook or whatever, you're like, that's decent. That's a step one. But it's better to connect with people on based on where they want to be, where they strive to be. So like when I went through divorce and I started dating all these different girls,
mm-hmm.
I connected with all of them really, really well because they're phenomenal women. But then I realized I started gravitating to someone who I felt was moving in the direction
that you wanted to move.
Even though she and I, the girl I'm seeing right now, we come from a different background, very, very different background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're both Vietnamese, but I definitely didn't connect with the Vietnamese part.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, that's usually something that I don't connect
with. That you
with,
steer away
right?
from.
Right? So, for sure. But it was like, you know, yeah, we both went through divorce, but that wasn't it. I dated other divorced women, right? But it was the direction we're going. So, when you meet someone, get to know them, ask about, you know, if they had all their superpowers and nothing stopping them, what would they do, right? Maybe someone wants to save the environment, the other wants to save like hungry children or poverty, but that kind of thought process is the same. Maybe 3 guys come together and a girl, and their just pursuit is the Olympics, and that's like a dream, and they're just never going to give up, right? And so that's like perfect. Maybe they're all in different sports, but hey,
that's the people you want to be around.
That process, yeah, because we're all going to get up at 5 a.m., hustle, tell each other not to give up, push each other. Same thing about our journey of making a difference in the world, right? So really think about when you connect with people and you're trying to build a small or big group of people, it's where you want to go, not where we came from.
That's actually so important. And I feel like I've never really heard it said out loud either. I feel like we all try and connect on things that like we're similar on or like that we share similar experiences, but obviously we're not moving backwards, we're moving forward. So you want to have people in your life that are also who are on the same vibe with you and want to move in that same direction and grow.
Totally. Totally.
Like
yeah, girl.
Okay. I hope that resonated with you guys as much as it just resonated with me. But I really enjoyed that, actually. Thank you for everything that you've said.
No problem. Thank
and
you for having me.
I'm hoping this will be out actually before the Casco Gala. So for those of you listening, go buy tickets. They are still on sale on the website. And there's the premiere night and also the gala night. So for those of you who are not ballin' and on a budget, as we all are, go to the premiere night. It's only $20 a ticket. Shameless promo in there. But yeah, it's for a good cause, and the show's going to be amazing. And like Tuan was saying, everything's from the heart. Everything's for love. Everything was from love. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Liv.
I really appreciate it. I love you too. Okay, I'll see you guys later. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Bye.
Bye.